Good morning. Please turn with me in your Bible this morning to the book of John. John chapter 3, find verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14. While you're turning in your Bible this morning to our text, let me invite you to join us for service on Sunday. We have a worship service at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. We also have children's church Sunday afternoon at 1:30, and our youth group meets at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, and we also have an evening service that starts at 6 p.m. Sunday evening. So please come out and join us for services on Sunday. We look forward to you being with us, meeting with us, and worshiping with us on Sunday. Please bring your family, your children, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church. We also have a midweek service. If you can't make it Sunday, we have a service on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. That's our midweek prayer and Bible study. We have a wonderful time. We meet, pray together, and pray for our community, our country, our homes, our families. And we also have a time where we gather around the Word of God, and we are taught the Word of God. And that is exactly what we're going to do this morning. We are going to gather around the Word of God, and we are going to learn more about Jesus Christ and His teachings, and what a wonderful thing that is. I hope and pray the message this morning will be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. So I'm going to begin reading in John chapter 3, starting at verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Lord, bless the message this morning. Help me as I preach. Lord, I know that I am nothing. I can do nothing without you. And Lord, I pray that you'd use me this morning to be a blessing to those who are listening, God, out there across the North Slope and all of the villages. And Lord, I just pray that you would take these words that are spoken. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit, Lord, move in our hearts and draw us closer to you today. In your name I pray and ask these things. Amen. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, as the people of Israel wandered through the wilderness, we read how the Bible says that the soul of the people was much discouraged by the way, and the people spake against God. That's not a good thing. And against Moses. That's not a good thing. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And these fiery serpents bit the people, and much people died. The people came to Moses and said, "Moses, we have sinned. Pray unto the Lord that He may take away the serpents from us." And the Bible says Moses prayed for the people. They should have never murmured against God in the first place. They should have never spoken against God in the first place. And they should have never spoken against Moses, the man of God. But because they had complained, because they had murmured, because they had spoke against the Lord and spoke against the man of God, Moses, God sent fiery serpents among them. And when the fiery serpents came and began to bite the people, and people began to die, the people said, "Uh-oh. We did bad. We did wrong. We better go to Moses and we better say, 'Hey, Moses, we've sinned. Pray to the Lord that he take away these fiery serpents from us. And what they should have done was go to God themselves. They shouldn't have had to go to Moses. They should have got down on their faces before God, wherever they were at, and got right. But no, they went to Moses, the man of God. And Moses prayed for the people, being the servant of God that he was. And God heard Moses' prayer. And God told Moses to make a fiery serpent of brass and set it on a pole. And anyone who has been bitten by one of these serpents, God said, when they look on the serpent of brass up on the pole, they will live. So Moses did what God had told him to do. He made a serpent of brass and set it on a pole. And the Bible says anyone who had been bitten and was dying, when they looked on the serpent of brass, they lived. The brass serpent on the pole that Moses lifted up for those dying people back in the book of Numbers was a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 14, a verse we just read in our text this morning, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says in Numbers, if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. When Moses cried out to God on the behalf of the people who had been bitten by these fiery serpents, the nation of Israel was in distress. Hundreds of people were dying from the poisonous venom of these fiery serpents that had been let loose on the people. They needed help. They needed a miracle. They needed God to intervene. The first step to deliverance, I want you to notice, was the people going to Moses and confessing their sin. It was because of their sin that God had sent these serpents among them in the first place. They had sinned against the Lord. They knew that they had offended God. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. Just as the children of Israel were in great distress and were dying from the poisonous bites from these fiery serpents, lost people today are in distress. Lost people today are in trouble. They are dying from the deadly venom of sin. While I'm speaking to you this morning, there are untold millions of lost souls all over this world dying from the poisonous effects of sin. They're slipping off into hell because they have been bitten by the serpent of sin. When Moses lifted up the brass serpent on the pole for all of those dying sinners to see, all they had to do was look on the serpent of brass and they would live. And every dying sinner who had faith enough to look on the brass serpent that Moses held up was healed. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. In Christ's time, the most disgraceful way a person could die was by crucifixion. Just as Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness for all to see, Jesus was lifted up on the cross of Calvary for a world of lost sinners to look upon him and live. Calvary was a public place. Everyone knew where it was, and it could be seen from every side. It was where criminals were executed, while throngs of people stood watching. Jesus was crucified at the time of the Passover, when Jews from all over the world came to Jerusalem. On the day of Christ's crucifixion, thousands of people looked upon Jesus. Multitudes of people were present at the crucifixion of Christ when Jesus, the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice for man's sin, was made. In Numbers chapter 21, God told Moses to make a serpent of brass and set it on a pole for the dying people to look at. The serpent that Moses fashioned was made in the same likeness of the fiery serpents that were biting the people and causing them to die. We say, why would God do that? Why would God tell Moses to make a serpent of brass for the people to look upon when the fiery serpents were causing them so much pain and so much suffering? Why would God tell Moses to make a serpent and a fake serpent in the likeness of the real serpents? The last thing these people probably wanted to see was a serpent after being bit by one of these fiery serpents. So why did God tell Moses to make a serpent of brass for the people to look on? Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Christ, who knew no sin and whom was no sin, was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. The brass serpent Moses fashioned in Numbers chapter 21 was made in the likeness of the fiery serpents, but there was a difference. The brass serpent was different because the brass serpent was harmless. And it was harmless because, unlike the fiery serpents, the brass serpent had no poison. It had no venom. Jesus was made in the likeness of sinful men. But just as the brass serpent was harmless, Jesus was also harmless, without sin, innocent, pure, holy, undefiled, the perfect sacrifice for sin and the only acceptable sacrifice for man's sin. Christ was without sin. He was the only man to ever live on this earth without ever committing a sin. Read your Bible. That's what the Bible says. Don't you let anybody tell you that Jesus was a sinner, that Jesus was a drunkard, that Jesus was immoral. Don't you let anybody tell you that Jesus was a sinner. He was not a sinner. He never sinned. He never told a lie. He never had a bad thought. Jesus Christ was the pure and perfect, holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, Son of God. Don't you ever forget it. Read your Bible. That's what the Bible says. Christ was without sin. He never committed sin. Jesus was heaven's best, sent to die in the place of the world's worst. Even though He was without sin Himself, He took our place and became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There was no other way. There was no other way for sinful man to be reconciled to a righteous God other than Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, coming down to this earth and dying on the cross for man's sin. There was no other way. There is no other way. There can never be any other way. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who in his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. God told the people in Numbers chapter 21 exactly what to do in order to be healed. He laid down the pathway to healing, the pathway to life. He said, look and live. Look and live. The only way a dying Israelite could be saved and healed and have life again was for that dying Israelite to look on the brass serpent. The only way for a dying sinner to be saved and receive eternal life is for that dying sinner to look in faith to the Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That brass serpent that Moses made and set up on that pole for those Israelites to see was a gift. Those people didn't deserve that gift. They had spoken against God. They had spoken against the man of God. They had sinned. They didn't deserve God to put that serpent up on that pole for them to look on and live. They didn't deserve that. They deserved to die. But God said, I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to give them a chance to have life. I'm going to give them a chance to be healed. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. It's a free gift. Faith brings salvation. And any dying sinner who will simply look to Jesus in faith, putting their trust in Him for deliverance, will have eternal life. It's a free gift. When a dying sinner looks to Jesus in faith, believing, the sinner sees on the cross the divine Son of God, made in man's image and made to be sin for him, bearing the curse of sin for him, to give him life. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, the gospel in one verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The kind of belief the Bible is talking about here is heart belief. It's not enough to just believe that there is a God. The Bible says that devils believe and tremble. It's not enough to believe that there is a Christ or even that He is the Savior of the world. In order to be saved, a person must realize that he is a sinner and that the wages of sin is death. The only way to be healed and delivered from the power and penalty of sin is for the sinner to turn from his sin to Christ for forgiveness, putting his faith and trust completely and entirely in the sacrifice of God's Son on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God invites every sinner to believe in Christ and be saved. The Bible says, whosoever. I love that word, whosoever. That means anybody. That means anyone can be saved. "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All means all. In Numbers chapter 21, God invited every Israelite who had been bitten to look and live, regardless of their age, regardless of their position in life, regardless of how wicked they were, or how righteous they were. God invited every Israelite who had been struck by the deadly venom of those fiery serpents to look and live. And those who looked did live. If an Israelite died, it was not God's will. It was because they chose to disobey God's command to look and live. If any sinner listening to this broadcast this morning ends up spending an eternity in hell, it will be because they refuse to look to Jesus. It will be because they refuse to believe in Christ and trust His shed blood. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Every unbeliever is condemned by God right now. The unbeliever is reckoned guilty before God. One breath, one heartbeat could be all that stands between the unbeliever and hell this morning. Every sinner in hell today is there for one reason: the sin of unbelief. People can be good, honest, moral, sincere, and still die and go to hell if they do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the name of Jesus is the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." That's one of the saddest verses you'll find in the Bible. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So why isn't everybody coming to Christ? Why is everybody trying to find their own way to God? Why is everybody trying to go in the other direction? Why are there so many false religions out there? Why are there so many different churches and different denominations out there? It's because that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus is the answer. He's our only hope. He's the only way. All we have to do is look on Him. The Bible says, look and live. Look on Christ and live. You can have eternal life only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other avenue. There's no other road. There's no other path that leads to life other than Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Yet today, men and women are seeking to find their own way. They're seeking to make their own way to heaven, building their tower of Babel, their tower of confusion, and dropping off into hell, dropping off into in eternity, day after day, millions of souls every day, trying to make their own way, try to do it their way, instead of looking and live, trying to take care of their sin problem, trying to take care of the venom of sin that's been injected into them some other way, and it's not working. They're dropping off into hell by the millions this morning. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." God sent the light of truth into the world because He so loved the world. God loves all. God loves everyone. But He saves only those who believe in His only begotten Son. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 20, and verse 21, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." A lost sinner does not love Christ. You'll never convince me that a lost sinner on his way to hell loves Jesus. A sinner does not want to hear the gospel. A sinner hates the truth. A sinner hates the light. The light of truth reproves and rebukes the sinner and his ways, and that's why he hates Christ. He hates the light. The truth confronts the sinner with his lost condition. The light exposes and reveals the sinner's evil deeds and wicked works. But since the sinner loves wickedness and sin so much, the sinner will not come to the light. The sinner will not seek Christ. The sinner will not believe the truth of the gospel and be saved. The Bible says, "He that doeth truth cometh to the light." If you're going to be saved, you have to come to the light. The believing sinner, a person who is truly born again, comes to the light, to the light, and receives the truth and walks in it. There's no such thing as a Christian who walks in darkness. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." The individual who comes to Jesus for salvation and truly receives Christ as their Savior will begin to walk in the light and will go on walking in the light of God's truth. Those who truly repent of their sins and receive the gospel will continue to walk in the light of the gospel. Those who are truly born again will grow in grace and draw closer to Christ. But those who profess Christ without possessing Christ will eventually turn back to the old way of life, the old habits, the old sins, the old pleasures, and the old lusts. Where are we at this morning? Are we walking in the light of truth, or are we walking in darkness? Do we possess Christ, or do we just profess Christ? If we have been born again, if we are truly born again, then we will want to walk in the light of God's truth. Our desire will be to draw closer to Christ. But if we have not been born again, like the Bible says we need to be, one day we will stand before God and every one of our evil deeds will be made manifest, our sin will be brought to light, and we will be judged according to our works. If you're lost this morning and you've never been born again, I want to encourage you this morning to look to Jesus and live. Accept God's unspeakable gift of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and be saved. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life."